Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
On your mark. Get set. Is it on your marks or on your mark?
On your mark. It's only one mark.
On your mark. Get set. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. I don't know how it goes.
That is so out of tune.
All right, show me how it's done.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. How was that out of tune? That was pretty good.
On that out of tune note.
Talking the Olympics with Vince Holland. Mindfulness, meditation, weightlifting. Boom! Intro done. Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Lauren.
And we are
the Neuro Nerds. Yes, that was on time.
I feel pretty good about that. Welcome to the Neuro Nerds, and it is that time. It is Olympics. It's been a weird time. It's a weird time. It's Olympics? Is it? Are we really doing this still while the pandemic is running a little bit wild? And I have a special guest here to help me process all this stuff out. The man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Vince Holland. What's up, Vince? How's it going?
Hey, Joe. What do you know?
I'm clearly energetic right now, and you have your same energy constantly. Honestly, one of my favorite things about you is that you're always just kind of here.
Consistency.
There's like no peaks and valleys. You are steady.
Yeah, man, I'm a table.
You are steady as the day is long. So we're going to touch base on the Olympics, kind of recovery, all that stuff. But I specifically wanted to talk to you about it because you are one of the largest human beings I've ever seen in life. I've seen you with your shirt off. You can't not agree with me. You've seen you with your shirt off. So you are a...
It's deceptive.
It is not deceptive. Unless you're that dude that put in those plastic fake muscles.
Oh, I saw that. That's
to look
terrifying. And it's got to be unhealthy.
It is. He literally looks like a Hulk figure if you melted it. It is really wild. So Vince, you athletically, you are a weightlifter. That's how you classify what you are, right?
Yes, I am Olympic weightlifting hobbyist. But I take it pretty seriously. So,
once again, I've seen Vince without his shirt. All of you guys should do the same. It's magnificent. You're basically chiseled out of granite. Now, weightlifting, is that something that you've wanted to do? Like, what drew you to weightlifting? Because immediately, you're a pretty big dude. I would think, okay, football. You know, you'd be a football guy. Maybe wrestling. But, like, what drew you to weightlifting?
Well, I was competing in martial arts. And I needed a strength and conditioning program. So I started doing functional fitness type things, interval training, and eventually started picking up the weights as just a part of that. But then I was like, hey, you know, I'm pretty good at this, or I'm taking to it pretty quick. And then the question came up, it's like, well, do you want to compete? Do you want to keep going with this? And it eventually, of course, became a part of my recovery experience too. So
how deep into the weightlifting were you prior to your stroke?
I was only competing regionally, mm-hmm. but training regularly, you know, for that sort of thing. It was pretty much a staple of my training. One of my favorite focuses of training. Cardio is fine, but if I can pick up something heavy, that was probably where I was going to be.
Right. Yeah, cardio, it get boring. Like, yeah. Really boring.
Yeah.
We'll get into a meditation thing because there's a story I just read that just fascinated me, like blew my mind, and it kind of like relates to that. So how long has it been since your stroke? I know we talked about that last time, you know, you were on the podcast, but, you know, I had a brain injury, Vince. I don't know if you know that.
I do know that about you, Joe. And my stroke, it was 5 years ago as of July the 4th.
Twinsies.
Yeah, man. Crazy, right?
Wait, did we talk about this?
I think so. When's yours, the 6th?
Damn it. I think we did. It's August 4th, so it's coming
up. August 4th. Okay, so.
Yeah. Oh, my God. See, look, it was twinsies. Again, if you could see us right now, physically, we're both basically the same human being.
Same type. Yeah.
Yeah, same body shape, right? I am also chiseled. More of like a marshmallow-like material as opposed to granite. But, you know, it's the same, similar. So it's been, wow, roughly the exact same time. When were you at physically capable of, you know what, I'm going to get back in that gym and I'm going to start, you know, lifting these large metal plates over my head?
Ooh, I guess maybe 6 months I started to think about, okay, let's graduate from the resistance bands to the 4 pound dumbbells. And then of course it progressed to the 6, 8, 10, and 12. And as I started to get comfortable, and my physical therapist is like, okay, you're doing everything orthopedically correct. Like, you can squat without the hip tilt now. Let's start thinking about not just getting into positions, but getting into positions under load. So, yeah.
Wow. 6 months. Wow. You might actually be a superhero, Vince. That's crazy. I don't really remember what I was doing 6 months after my show. I know I was still in physical therapy. I was going to outpatient rehab. I think I was progressing a lot faster than most stroke survivors. I was like, I remember my physical therapist was like, yeah, I got to figure out some new stuff for you because like you're doing these things.
Yes.
So I was doing like bear crawls. Those are not fun.
No.
I don't know if you've done, I'm assuming you've done bear crawls.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. They suck so bad. And also like I guess the arm bike.
Yeah. Oh.
That's like what I started out with. And I'm like, really? Is this what I'm doing? I hate this thing. I don't like it at all.
Yeah.
And then
my PT Bruce, shout out to Bruce. Love that thing.
Did you? Hated it.
Yeah.
Okay, I hate it. And then they gave me like the little bendy things. I don't know what you call them. It's like a stick.
That's a good way to describe it.
I hated it. So like they gave me like, they're like, oh, well, you're doing really well. So we got to do like the step up, like the strong one. And I was like, I just don't like it. Like I don't know. I pretended for a while that it was a piece of metal and I was Superman and I was like just bending it because I'm a big, strong man. But then in reality, I'm bending like a giant, I don't know, what would you call it? Like a rubber band. That's what it is. It's like a long rubber stick that I'm bending. But I guess, you know, it got me to where I am, so I can't complain too much. Now, pre-stroke, you were, again, I don't see any physical difference, Vince. You're a very large human being. But where you were physically before your stroke, how far away from that, or are you all the way back now?
Well, physically, I think I'm spending a lot less time on the trail and maybe not doing quite as much cardio. So I've got a little more luggage, got a little bit of a spare tire now. So it's not that lean life anymore, but I am getting there as far as strength. I'm pretty much where I was. So that's awesome.
Wow. That's phenomenal. And to be honest, I know what it is. You're saying it's a spare tire. I am not as large as you. I've got that. Do you want to know what it really is? It's a protective layer of fat to keep our muscles warm. Does that make you feel better?
It does make me feel better. Mine is made up of cronuts.
Ooh, is that, wait, all right. So are you a snacker?
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I smoke weed, Vince. Of course I'm a snacker. I'm an ice cream guy. Like it's dangerous. But I try to shift to healthier options after my stroke. So I used to eat like trash. I would eat Takis. You know what Takis are?
Like the chips.
The chips, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the ingredients to Takis?
No. Is it like actual like food grade ingredients?
I would think it would be like machine grade ingredients because basically every third word in the ingredients to a package of Takis is about 17 letters long and you can't pronounce them. It's a lot of garbage, but I love Takis because it's really spicy. And like, if like fire was a flavor, I'd eat it. So I went from that, because I am a texture guy too. So like, I like chips. I went from that to like the Trader Joe's version of Takis, which they're not good for you, but they're better for you than the other ones. And taste wise, they're close. And then instead of doing potato chips, I do like the snap peas, like the freeze dried, not freeze dried, but whatever you call them. They like basically they mimic the texture of like potato chips. Phenomenal. Because again, it's a texture thing for me. So like I snack in that way now because I'm constantly eating, and I eat like a lot of like trail mix, like cashews and almonds and stuff. So, you know, I'm trying to be healthy and watch my girlish figure. but it's look, the extra weight that you're carrying, I'm sure looks significantly better on you than me. Cause I won't say lean guy. Cause I'm not anymore. I'm not a fat dude either. So I'm moderately thin. So when I gain weight, it's like all here and I just look like I'm pregnant. It's not a good look, Vince. It's not a good look. Not that I wear like, you know, like the briefs at the beach or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants to see this. And you've seen what my significant other looks like. I gotta get my life together. Look, I do. I might be hitting you up and be like, Vince, come on, man. I need to get that Brazilian jiu-jitsu body that you have. That's what you specialize in, correct?
It is, yeah. That was kind of the main focus of my martial arts and MMA and Muay Thai.
So now do you still compete in those contact sports?
I do not. And that's sort of the conversation my wife and I are having right now, because she's gone back to jiu-jitsu and we are both now trying to figure out how to get more of that on the calendar so that we can do it together.
So is a discussion, we just need to make time for this, or is it a discussion, Vince, you psychopath, you had a stroke, we don't want you to get hit in the head?
No, not at all. She's already doing it. And it's more like, okay, so when are you coming back to jiu-jitsu? That's the conversation.
Oh, are you ready? Do you feel that you're ready?
Physically, for sure. Yeah. I don't know what my apprehension is mentally. I think I've got a lot of pokers in the fire with other things, with work and life. But yeah, I think it's an eventuality.
Ooh, I'm excited for you. I'm not excited for the person that you hit the first time. That's going to be intense. It's going to be years of, yeah, I've been building this up. And now I'm taking it out on you.
Well, fortunately, jiu-jitsu is like a lot of very gentle grappling and strangling, but there's no punching. Yeah.
Sorry, I love that phrase. That needs to be on a t-shirt. Gentle grappling and strangling. That sounds like a horrific first date. That is amazing. So you can help me with this because you're the expert here. What's the difference between there's levels, obviously, but what would you say the difference is between weightlifter, casual weightlifter, professional weightlifter, Olympic level weightlifter? Like what are the levels? Because for me, I'm a basketball guy and I knew immediately transitioning from like basketball player to like, you know, small college basketball player to professional basketball player, the levels, like the difference is, yeah. So the physicality and the cardio, it's like it's on another level.
Are you a stroke or brain injury survivor looking for a community and support? Well, the NeuroNerds are here to help. Join our hashtag USORock Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/USORock to connect with other survivors like you.
Plus, read other inspirational brain injury survivor stories on Joe's blog at josorocks.com/USORock. And submit your stories there as well. We want to hear them.
And remember,
you so rock.
Like it's 10 times more than you ever thought it was going to be. And a lot of like mental, you know, wherewithal to get to the next level. So what would you say the differences are? Like, what are the levels in weightlifting?
I would say there's definitely a level of, at the highest level, the level of grit is insane. Like these people put their bodies through a lot, and it's because the volume is a bit higher than if you're just competing like a weekend warrior. And also at the highest level, they're competing as it's their life. Like that is their full-time thing. They're spending a lot of hours in the gym and not just performing their sport, but doing a lot of accessory work and stability exercises and everything to really get very granular about how they're learning their sport. Like a weekend warrior like me, you know, you put the time in a couple days a week, you keep working on your movements, you build your strength, and it comes in waves, ebbs and flows, but it's not as much time in the gym, not quite so focused.
When you say weekend warrior, right? I think a father of three, hey, honey, you take care of the kids. I got to go do this thing. I'm going to go for a hike, or I'm going to like play ball with the guys, you know, or I'm a little, that's what I think. Still rocking the dad bod, but like a difference between like, you know, bad dad bod and like good dad bod, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't seem like a weekend, you're not built like a weekend warrior, Vince. You're built like an actual warrior.
I guess I have this version of me in my mind from whatever time, and like now I feel like I'm much more of a hobbyist, and I'm less in the gym 5 or 6 days a week, just doing it for fun.
Look, it's not like you turned into Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal, right? Where they're like, okay, I'm no longer doing this professionally. Let me just eat. You're not doing that. You're still a very, I was going to say shapely, man. It's a weird thing to say about another dude. I don't know if I'd use that word, but like, yeah, you're still in incredible shape. So the Olympics are around. There's a lot of weird stuff happening. Obviously, I'm a lot of bit uncomfortable with it because we're kind of still recovering. I don't even want to say recovering. We haven't recovered from the pandemic. And this like Delta variant is very scary. And there's like a new one that came from Peru. Oh, it was wild. So it made me really uncomfortable that they were like moving forward with the Olympics. But here we are. I haven't followed the Olympics closely in years, I guess. The most I think I follow, obviously, the dream teams because I'm a basketball guy. And I followed back in the day. Do you remember Dan versus Dan?
Vaguely, yeah. Were they brothers or?
They weren't. They just shared the same first name. So there were two Dans and they competed in, what was it? The triathlon? No, the one where it's like a bunch of them. Decathlon. Not the decathlon. Academic, the actual decathlon where you do like a bunch of different events. And they had these really cool commercials, Dan versus Dan. And it was supposed to be this big deal where they were going to meet in the Olympics and compete for the gold kind of against each other, but like in a really friendly way because they're both American. Here's the deal. One of the Dans didn't make it.
Didn't make it. I remember that part. Dan,
yeah. It was Dan Johnson. I believe Dan O'Brien. I'm not 100% if I got the names right. But anyways, yeah, one of them didn't make it. So it was like, yay. Oh. So it was kind of a bummer. So it was like a lot of great promo, I guess. But then like as for the Olympics itself, it was just like, wah, wah, wah. It was kind of a letdown. I followed that really closely. Track and field, obviously, I followed Michael Johnson. By the way, fellow stroke survivor.
Yeah, I did not know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. He's our people.
I mean, it's not awesome.
Yeah, he's.
But it is, you know.
Hey. You know, it's funny. There's that weird thing when it comes to being a stroke survivor. Like, look, you and I, we're part of the cool kids club, right? We are. We're like the new rock stars. But when we're like, oh, that's awesome. We're not saying, oh, wow, I'm so happy that this person had a brain injury. We're not saying that. We're just saying, oh, wow, another one of us, right? Like it's cool for me because I think when celebrities, athletes, musicians, actors, actresses, when there's someone who has a stroke in like on that level, it helps our community because it brings a lot more awareness to what's going on. Cause people are like, wait a minute, Michael Johnson had what's a stroke? And then now people know. Right. And yes. Hopefully he's advocating out there. Like we advocate, you know, we can talk till we're blue in the face about stroke, about fast, about all the signs, all the things that happened to it happened at any age, blah, 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 blah. We can say that. And all day, every day, Michael Johnson, amongst other people, Frankie Muniz, Jesse J, Amelia Clark, all of these, like, I don't want to say that they're special. They're just regular ass people, but they just so happen to have very large followings in their careers. They can come out and say something and it impacts so many people. Many more people would listen to them as opposed to us, you know?
Yeah, it's truth.
So when Michael Johnson has a stroke, sucks. Sorry, Michael Johnson. Hey, but you are now part of like the greatest, most amazing, helpful, loving, caring community you never wanted to be a part of, but you're very thankful is here. So I think that's like where our energy of, yay, Michael Johnson is part of our community is coming from. Did you ever do any track and fields? Because I don't necessarily look at you and like, that is the fastest guy I've ever seen. I see you maybe shot put, but did you ever do any of the track and field events?
Yes, for a few seasons when I was in high school. I was much smaller and faster, but yes, I did shot put, discus, and javelin. And then we had a thing called the Fat Man Relay. So this is like the guys, the biggest guys who would do field events. And if we went to a school and they did not have a 4x4 team, we would just take four of our field guys and let them run it.
That is the greatest name. Like that really is the greatest name. I think you need to put like a team together for that and that alone.
We wore it proudly. Yeah.
The Fat Man Challenge. You kind of have to. Yeah. You can't look a name like that. You can't wear it with shame. You have to wear it with pride, right?
Yeah. We're here to compete. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. We didn't at my school. It was I don't want to say poor school. Basically, all the money went into academic decathlon at my school, and nothing went into the sporting programs. So we had like nothing. We didn't have a discus. That's why we didn't do discus, and we didn't have a javelin. That's why we didn't do javelin. So we had a ball though.
Yeah,
we had a shot put. Yeah. We had like, I think we had three.
Nice.
And two of them were the same weight.
Oh, wow.
So basically we had two.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did the 100, the 200, the 400. I didn't do the 800 because good Lord, why? And then the 1600, that just doesn't even make any sense. Nobody wants to run that many times around track. I did long jump, high jump, triple jump, and shot put, but only because nobody else wanted to do it. that's my Olympic level events. So okay, so as for the Olympics, do you actually like know Olympic weightlifters? I'm assuming yeah.
I do, the US weightlifting team. I follow a couple of the other ones from certain other countries just because they're like Olympic gold medalists, repeat world champions, this sort of thing, but I'm familiar somewhat with the American team with weightlifting.
Do you have favorites?
CJ Cummings. He's 21 years old. He's got a bunch of these junior world records. He smashed a bunch of those in his early career. Maddie Rogers is also awesome. She's super, super tough. And the weight classes have changed in the sport, but she's gone up in weight classes, adapted to it, and still came out with a spot on the Olympic team. So that was pretty cool to see. There are a couple other ones. Like one of the ones is a guy named Harrison Morris, was born in 97, and now he's on an Olympic team. He is the youngest on the team.
That just made me feel so weird in the pit of my stomach.
Like you were born?
He was born after I graduated high school. Yeah, I just aged myself, guys. Again, I'm not 22 years old, contrary to popular belief. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it makes me so uncomfortable. I hate that person so much. No, no hate. We have nothing but love for everybody out there. So now with weightlifting itself, any athletic event or anything that you put that type of energy and effort into, it has a lot to do with your mind as well. And I know you're an avid meditator. Is that even a word? Meditator? I'm assuming yes. I'm gonna go with it. And I think this helped you along your recovery too, right? Just the slowing your thoughts down and, you know, being able to focus in on your goal, whether it be, hey, getting to this level of weight or, hey, getting to this level of recovery. Would you agree with that?
I am a huge advocate for mindfulness for sure, because I know that is like your mind is something that you can keep working on, especially when you go through the different stages of recovery that we have where your body's not listening. You know, it's not cooperating. You're not in the command seat the way you want to be. So you've just really got to tinker with your mind and get it to a better place.
Now, have you hit? I'm sure you have. I don't want to speak for you, but I'll let you speak for you because you're here. Do you feel? Because I think we all hit those points. Have you hit that point where you're just like, I can't do it. And in doing so, was it meditation that brought you out of that, right? To be mindful, be in the moment, like, oh, no, I can do that. Has the mindfulness and meditation helped you get past those little hurdles that we kind of put in our own way?
Most definitely. And I think there was like during my inpatient rehab stay, 11 days of just gruesome introspection, because there was time after the first few days where I didn't get so wiped out that I could just go to sleep. I was wiped out, but I had to sit up and be awake in the rehab facility and think about life and my existence and my identity and grief. So there were some tough moments for sure.
Wow. Now, before your stroke, you were in a meditation and mindfulness as well, or was it mostly after the stroke?
I was, even before my stroke. My first foray into martial arts was in like the traditional martial arts. So there's a big focus on the ethos and having a set of values that govern the way that you go throughout your life. So that was still a part of me, is to be mindful of these values and to think about having a particular character and not just a particular style of martial arts. So it was deeper than that always for me.
You're like a samurai.
not to that degree, but like it was for sure something that I was like, you know, this helps me be a better person.
Thank you to our amazing community on Patreon for supporting this podcast.
You can support us too and get different perks and gifts depending on which Neuro Jedi tier you sign up for. For example, if you're on our Neuro Padawan $5 tier, then you're probably listening to this episode a day early before its public release.
Your support helps us grow and continue to create this podcast. Plus, a portion of the proceeds go to a different cause or individual in the brain injury survivor community each month. Sign up at patreon.com/theneuronerds.
I say samurai because I, not for any other way than I just assume that you have a katana sword and you murder people on the weekends. That's just what I thought myself immediately. It's ridiculous. So do you think you had a leg up in your recovery because of the fact that you were so into mindfulness and meditation?
I do. Yeah. I know that I could have gotten stuck in so much of what I couldn't do and let that be my focus. But I searched around as if I knew for sure that I was going to get to like a really content place in my recovery. And I just knew that it was there. And in my mind, the search was just going to keep going until I found bits and pieces of it, little breadcrumbs to get me to that place. So I operated as if I knew that it was there.
That's amazing. I never meditated my entire life. I just didn't. Before the stroke, I didn't. And I always made excuses and I defeated myself before I even did anything. I was lost. Like I took the L before I even started, you know? And I, you know, being an athlete, you know that if you don't have the right mindset, I remember competing against guys and guys would show up and I would look at them. I'm like, oh, I already won. These guys, they're not here. They beat themselves. Like I don't really have to put in much effort because they've already lost. I could just see it in their demeanor. I could see it in their eyes. Like they weren't ready. You know what's funny? I was thinking maybe I kind of did meditate, I guess, in my own way back in the day when I used to compete heavily in basketball. Because I would, you know, mostly through music, I would sit in music and I put myself in a zone and in that energy. And then I would kind of like literally be in that zone when I took the court. But yeah, I was never able to meditate. And then I think I would have gotten much further in my recovery much faster if I had done all the things that I probably should have done pre-brain injury. And I'm very happy that you were able to, because immediately you're like, oh yeah, like 6 months later. And I was like, kind of killing it. I was like, damn, how? I'll tell you how. Vince had the right mindsets, which is crazy.
I think that 6 month jumping off point was really where it started to seem like, okay, I can get out of the woods now. Like I was already doing my, PT, my outpatient rehab stuff. I was beginning to do it on my own. And I just started to see bits of myself. Like it was about reclamation at that point. And before that, it was just about, let's see what we can do. And the reclamation piece was a big thing. You know, I was reclaiming myself from a stroke.
Yeah. And at what point were you like, yeah, I'm going to be able to do this?
It like flickered on and off during rehab. But then I would say at 6 months, it was pretty much a done deal. I had a charge nurse who didn't give me an option about some things. And she's like, so what's your goal before you leave here? Like, she just told me that I had to have one. I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk out of inpatient rehab. And we wrote it on the board and I looked at it every day. And I said it to myself and talked about it and thought about it. And I just didn't want to watch TV when I was inpatient rehab. Like I really wanted to dig in my mind and go find the answer to who I was and who I was going to be. Because I'm like, well, I have to find it. This is who I have to be. I don't have a say in the matter. Like I have to be this person.
Wow. That's deep. I might've had something like that. I don't remember. I don't have much memory from the hospital, like at all. I know it was a struggle to just figure out anything, you know? I don't really remember much. I wrote something down. I think I wrote down something like I'm getting better every day. I don't remember doing that. Like, I don't remember doing that at all, but it's nice to know that like I was in that mindset, you know? Recovery is crazy. Let me ask you a question. If you had advice to give, not just yourself, like a version of you or someone like that's just starting to recover, you know, what advice would you give that person?
Find a community and definitely dive into a mindfulness practice that starts with acceptance. Not acceptance like, oh, I'm going to give my permission to what happened and it's okay, but just acknowledging that I've done what I could do with the past and the only thing that I have is now. Like, I can't go back and undo this thing. And as heavy as that can feel, just to be accepting of like, okay, I'm feeling angry today, which is a part of it. And sometimes that gets skipped over. But if you feel angry today, notice it, attend to it, and accept it. But then do what you can with the very next moment, you know, find your best next steps from there.
Absolutely brilliant. Again, I think you were light years ahead of where I was early on in your recovery. It took me a long time. Acceptance is freeing, you know. Felice, she told me from jump, she's like, acceptance is going to be key in your recovery. She's like, acceptance is freedom. She's like, resistance is pain. I had so much resistance in me, and a lot of stroke survivors that I've run into, I don't know if you've had the same experiences, there's so much resistance to what things are right now. Now, the more, and I'll just say this, the more you resist what's happening in the moment right here, right now, the further from your goal you're going to be. I was like that. It took me almost, holy shit, maybe a year and a half to actually utter the phrase, I had a stroke. I couldn't say it. I couldn't say it. I didn't want to accept that reality, but the reality was I had a fucking stroke. I had to use a cane coming home from the hospital. I didn't want to be, Vince, I don't want to be that guy. You're an athlete. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be. Now, you walked out of the hospital. I'm assuming you hit your goal.
Well, they wheeled me to the exit, and then I stood up from the chair and then walked to my parents' vehicle, and that was nice. Like, but I don't take for granted those three or four steps. And then I went home, and I had to use my aids, my cane, and my walker and stuff like that. But I did hit my goal leaving rehab.
How did you feel about those aids?
I had a little bit of contempt for them because I'm like, well, no, this is – I have an idea of who I am, and it doesn't include these things. Like, but that's what it was. I did accept them. So when I would go on my little walks, my short little 200-meter walks, I would take them with me. You know, I wasn't going to live in denial. I'm like, okay, Vince, well, if you're serious about acceptance, accept that this is what is required of you right now. Like, this won't be forever. Storm clouds run out of rain. You're going to be okay. So I did it. I just accepted them.
You were much more mentally prepared than I was because I didn't accept it for the longest time. And it wasn't until I've told the story before, I refused to use my cane at home. And it was the first time that I didn't have a Joe sitter and Felice let me home alone. And before she left, she was like, seriously, use your cane. You have to go to the restroom. You need to get something from the kitchen. Use your cane. I was like, yeah, of course. I didn't use a cane. I was like, I don't need this. Like, fuck this noise. And like, literally, I was like, I'm a grown man. I'm not going to use this cane. And I fell so badly. I just collapsed. And it was that, like, honestly, it was that moment in movies where the person is on their back staring up at the sky thinking, how did I get here? It was that moment where I was like, how did I get to this point in my life, right? I was regretting every decision I ever made. But it was at that moment, staring up at the sky, staring up at my ceiling thinking, oh yeah, I need this cane. I don't want this cane. No. I don't like it, but I need it. I need it to get from point A to point B, because if not, I'm going to end up in the hospital. This time I might not come out. So it really shifted the way that I thought. So but once I accepted this is what it is, I had always thought, I don't know if you ever had this. My biggest issue was if I accept this is what this is just what it is. This is just what it is now. I thought about the wrong way. And a lot of us in recovery think this. A lot of survivors out there, you guys are suffering because of this flawed way of thinking. You think, well, if I accept it, that's just what life is. It's kind of like giving up. It's like, no, it's not. It's the opposite of that. It's accepting what it is. At that moment, I accepted I need this cane right now. It's not forever. As soon as I accepted I needed that cane, everything in my being went to, okay, how do I get rid of this damn cane? And I worked my ass like off towards my goal of getting rid of this damn cane that I had so much contempt and hate for. So anybody who's out there, yeah, but I want to be the old me. Well, first off, the old you's gone. Sorry. I don't mean to be a dick about it. It's gone. It doesn't exist. This is the new version of you. And now we have a new thing. a lot of people that I'm running into, specifically over the past like couple of months, where I talk about the new version of you, right? You 2.0, right? New you. Like it's a new normal that you have. I don't think that's a bad thing. Why is there such a negative view of a new normal? I don't understand it. It's just like, hey guys, I'm on this new diet. I'm doing keto. I don't do keto. I'm just saying that's like the new hot thing, right? Cool. Now you only eat these things. You only do these things. You know what that is? That's a new normal. Sorry. That's what it is. Hey, during this pandemic, do you want to know I have to go into the store? I have to wear a mask. You want to know what that is? It's a new normal. That's all it is. It's not for, at least I hope it's not forever, but that's what it's like, a new normal. It's this patch, this moment in time that this thing is happening. So your recovery, you just have to figure out what your new normal is, right? So early on, I had to use a cane, fucking hated it, accepted it. And once I did that, I was able to like work my way past that. And I did that through mindfulness once I started to meditate. And it has really helped me tremendously. Were you seem like a very peaceful, calm guy. Have you always been this way, Vince?
No. And I think part of the acceptance too is to accept the storms, like, I mean, the literal storms outside, but to accept the storms that are within you. And you can find some peace there. Just, you know that they're there, and some of them are beyond your control. And so the best way for you to tend to them is just acknowledge them for what they are. And then you go on conducting life. Like me, just, I would have to just try and be the best version of myself, the best son, the best husband, the best friend. And that means not always letting my storm spill over on other people. So it hasn't always been so serene, you know, but I'm proud that it's gotten to this place.
Hey, you and I, we're the yin and the yang. We are, because I'm basically a ball of chaos. And I've done a lot of, you know, mental work to get to this version of chaos for me. But what I've come to learn specifically during this pandemic over the past year or so, circle of control. I drive people crazy and saying that, like, Joe, shut the fuck up, your circle of control. It's true. So make a circle with your hands, right? Everything inside of that circle, you can control. You can control that. You can control the way you react. You can control the things you say, what you eat, how you do things. Everything outside of that circle, you can't control, right? Somebody wants to say something mean. Somebody wants to be a jerk. Somebody, all of those, you can't control that. So why are you wasting time focusing on it, right? Like, Vince, you say something. I can't control anything you say or do. I can't. All I can do is control how I react to the things that you say and do. Once I figured that out, it's been so helpful to me. I see so many people angry, just so angry. You know, this person did this. I'm like, okay. You know, this person said that. I'm like, all right, that's okay. So, and?
If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. Your reviews help us grow and reach more listeners like you.
Find us by searching for the NeuroNerds on the Apple Podcast app today.
You're saying you're so thin-skinned that these words are destroying your life, because that's what you're telling me with that energy. So once I realized, oh God, I used to be that. I was that for like a long time. Now I'm like, I don't really give a fuck. I just don't. I don't have many fucks to give. And I choose not to give them. I just don't. And it's very helpful for me. And that's, you know, okay. So this is the advice I would give stroke survivors on their recovery. Give less fucks. Really. Just don't really give a fuck. Focus on you. Focus on the things that you can control and live your life. Look, you made it back to enjoy life, not, you know, do all the stupid shit that you were bitter and angry about before the brain injury. So give less fucks. I need to put that on a shirt. For sure. And then you
sell a million of those.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then if you had that shirt, you should immediately take it off, because you should never have a shirt on, Vince. Just saying. I'm saying that for the eyes of the people in the world. No, mindset is amazing. It's one thing I've always been very thankful for. Every single time I have a conversation with you, there's a certain amount of serenity. There's a certain amount of calm that you just exude. When I talk to you, I always feel at peace with any conversation we're having. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have bad days. I'm not saying that you don't have those stormy days. I'm saying I think you process them better than most people. Would you agree?
I do. And fortunately, I found throughout the course of my life a lot of outlets that allow me to be very intense and aggressive in a way, in a space where it's acceptable or it's encouraged, you know.
That's true. You have chosen, a hobby or a pastime to be able to grapple and gently strangle people. So, I mean, that's an outlet right there. Yeah. Now, you're married. And is your wife into meditation as you are?
She's not. She is a martial artist. And I think she does make time for a lot of mindfulness. You know, we talk about, which utility is good? Is it Smiling Mind? Is it Headspace? Like that sort of thing. So we do make time for it. Ooh, I think I'm probably the one who pours a lot more into mindfulness right now.
Oh, that's good. Is it? Do you guys ever meditate together?
I would say so. Yeah, I don't know that we call it deliberate meditation time, but like in the morning is usually when I have fewer than 5 minutes of when I do my breath work. And the night before, we'll make a plan. Like, okay, we'll wake up together. She'll be like, okay, I'm going to do a run at X time. So we'll wake up in the morning together and we'll just have quiet time together. So we don't do like mantras or anything like that, which is, if that's your thing, it's cool. But that's just when we dedicate time to just waking up, not plugging into something online or getting on the phone or getting on email and just taking time to kind of be still, set the tone for the day.
So I meditate first thing every morning, almost every single day since I've been out of the hospital. It's part of my routine. Before I even knew I needed a routine, it became my routine that I wake up and I meditate for 10 minutes. The majority of the time, I would say a solid 75-80% of the time, I'm meditating with Felice. We'll wake up, you know, same time and just pop in 10-minute meditation, be at one, set our intentions for the day. And I think it's a good start for both of us individually for our individual days, but also as a couple. I think it's very helpful for us to kind of like get in that zone. And there's something about energy, modern day hippie Joe, telling you, again, smoke weed. I love 60s rock. I'm wearing natural deodorant. I meditate every day. I'm like such a hippie, but there's something about energy that there's no explaining it. It's one of those things where like, I can't, it's like art. What's art? I can't tell you, but I know it when I see it. There's something about energy. I can't tell you what it is, but I know it when I feel it. And there's a certain energy that happens when two people are in the same mindset or in the same meditative space. It's something so beautiful about that. You know, I wish I could explain it. Do you have better words than I do for this, Vince? Because this is more along the lines of, you know, your expertise as opposed to mine.
What I've read recently, or reread rather, is some of the words of Jim Quick when he describes these states of mind, like actually states of the brain, where I guess you can be in beta state all day. That's where your brain's at. And then like delta state is when your brain is fast asleep. But then this theta to alpha state is when you're in this really creative space, like when you're in the shower and you're sort of captivated by doing nothing, but just being present with that. There is something about that state of mind that's really creative and good at learning.
We need to unlock that space more often. Is there a pill for that? I think I would use that pill. You know what? Okay. I just want to touch on this real quick. There was I was reading a story about quiet. So there was a study done where they put people in a deprivation tank or anything like that, but in a quiet room with no stimulation for 10 minutes, no stimulation, no, nothing on the walls. Basically just like, I'm assuming a white room, white chair, and you're just chilling and it's just you and your thoughts. They gave you a button, right? What that button does is give you a slight shock. That's it. That's all it does. Like, oh shit. That's what that button does. So all you have, you stay in this room for 10 minutes and you just have this button. You don't have to press it. They just gave you the button. They're like, yeah, this will give you a slight shock if you touch it. 90 some odd percent of the people press that button out of boredom. Wow. Now, I believe it was close. It was almost 80 something percent of the people press it multiple times.
Wow.
There was one dude that pressed it 190 times. To be honest, I think he was just trying to get off for some weird reason. People get off the weird things, Vince. Yeah. So what does that tell you? People were so afraid to be alone with their thoughts that they would rather be in physical discomfort. That blew my mind. I resonate with that. Back in the day, I would close my eyes to meditate before the stroke. I would close my eyes to meditate and I would go to the darkest places. I would rather do anything then close my eyes and be at one with my thoughts. Now I am. I love it. I wish I was able to get past that barrier beforehand. Have you ever had anything similar where you were like, yeah, I can't do this. I'm not capable of doing this. Or have you always been pretty, you know, like a natural when it comes to mindfulness and meditation?
I would definitely say when I was younger, there was a period where I was kind of selfish. And so there was times where I wouldn't want to be alone to think about whatever it was I was doing or saying that was focused on me being gratified in the moment and not being thoughtful at all of other people. So in that space, during a lot of that time, it was pretty regular for me to kind of run away from my own thoughts.
And I'm assuming you were very young because this version of yourself is, you're like Luke Skywalker in Return of the Jedi as opposed to like Luke Skywalker in Star Wars. So I'm assuming this wasn't like an overnight transition. I'm assuming you've been this way for a while.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess there are just some things, life things that kind of aided along and tried, they kind of intensify that perspective of acceptance and knowing how to get out of your own way and taking time to slow down when you're feeling catastrophic and like you're going to throw it on somebody else.
Yeah, you know? Like 24 hours a day. I used to feel that back in the day. But I'm better now, guys. Hey, moral of the story, meditate. Be at one with yourself. Figure out who you are. We don't need all the stimulation. Like, it's fun. It's great to kind of like, escapism is amazing. It's not always necessary. Sometimes it's good just to shut everything down and be at one with your thoughts. I'm having a conversation, a back and forth with a friend of mine, and she's struggling to make this like a daily thing. But another friend of mine has just gone, I think, 30 days in a row meditating. And she's like, I feel great. I'm like, yeah. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? You're gaining routine. You're slowing down your thoughts. You're able to focus and process more. Amazing that you feel lighter mentally and you're able to focus in on tasks and do things. And all of these things are very important for us brain injury survivors. Jeez, don't make me make Vince come hunt you down. And no, we're a peaceful podcast over here at the Neuro Nerd Vince. So do you have any thoughts on the Olympics? Do you think it should have happened or do you think it should have been postponed?
It's so tough because this is such a small window of capability for a lot of the athletes. And so my hope generally is just that they have their safety and their health in mind and that they do everything that they can to, you know, go forward with it if it's going to happen in a way that allows them to get home and to still be healthy, to perform their best, but also just to do it in a way that allows them to be safe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. I hope everybody is safe and yeah, look, just take care of yourselves, guys. Look, and not just yourselves. Don't take care of yourself just for yourselves. Yeah, you should want to take care of yourself. There are other people. We live in a society. We do. We're not mountain men. We're not in mud huts in the forest. We're not that. We live in a society. We go to Whole Foods. We go to Target. We're all in this. So make sure you take care of yourself because you don't want to get other people sick. They might not have they might not have the luck that you have because clearly it's just luck for most of these people. So take care of yourselves, take care of, you know, others. We're in this together, guys. Come on. We're all one. Well, except for you. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you dicks.
Hi, how are you?
I'm talking about you guys. You guys should go make mud huts up in the mountains and get away from us. But aside of that, the rest of you, we're all in this. You know, even, hey, we have differences. How boring would it be if we all thought and felt the exact same things?
Ugh.
That'd be so boring. You know, I was talking to somebody who's dating and she was like, oh, this person doesn't believe in anything. So I don't even think I'm going to go on a date with them. I'm like, are you kidding? You should go on a date. You might fall in love. You want to go out with somebody who feels and thinks everything that you think. Basically, you're so arrogant. You just want to date yourself. You know, we have differences. That's why I love sports because it's like, oh, well, my team is this and your team is that. I don't hate you for it. I just know I'm right. I'm a Clipper fan. I have to feel that way. But yeah, just a safety first. And if, again, I want, if you have any last meditative, any last mindfulness notes you would like to give any of the stroke survivors out there, now be the time, Vince.
I would say take part in a mindfulness practice and try journaling, because if you can write those thoughts down, then you can kind of pre-digest them and you can look at them on paper rather than looking at the world through the lens of those same thoughts. So try that out. And even if it's just one thought that you have a day, if you're a nerd out there and you remember Pokemon, imagine you're in the Safari Zone and you have to catch some wild thought, just one, and you put it down on paper, the one that you've been struggling with and now take a look at it and don't view the world through that same thought.
Vince, my dude, I got to tell you, I'm just always, I've become a bigger fan every single time we converse. And I say this, I mean it. We got to do this more often. I'm not even kidding. It's just, it's so much fun. We haven't even gotten into like the nerdy shit. Yeah. Like we're going to get into some nerd shit probably off air, but hey, I appreciate you coming on, giving us kicking some knowledge about the Olympics and about mindfulness and rehabilitation. And look, mindset is so important in recovery. It's the most important thing. Look, physically, it's one thing to get your body back. To get your mind back is the biggest fight. It's the most difficult thing I've ever had to do in life. You know, what was very helpful? Mindfulness, being in the moment, meditation, slowing my thoughts down. And I advise everybody do the same. Vince, appreciate you so much. And if you want to follow Vince, you could follow Vince at Vince.Holland. They got that right?
Vince.856.
Vince.856. Boom, on Instagram. And if you want to follow us, you can follow Lauren at Lauren L. Manzano on Instagram. You can follow me at Joso Rocks on all the socials. You can follow us, the Neuro Nerds, everywhere. And on this awesome, just honestly, just epic moment in time for me, on this very mindful, meditative, in the moment moment, this nerd is out. Vince, seriously, thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. That was just fantastic.
Yeah, it's always dope talking to you, Joe. I appreciate it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.